Save big money on your summer project at Menards. Transform your garage with rock-solid floor coatings. Complete your project with a showroom-quality finish in 1 weekend. A one-car kit covers up to 250 square feet. Get everything you need to complete your project with rock-solid floor coatings. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Chasing Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5 The Game. Hope you're having a great day so far. Let's bring in the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, who joins us now. Pete, what's up? How you doing?
Well, a lot of things are up. And first and foremost among those is I still don't know for certain what I'm going to say tomorrow at the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame. So maybe I'll ask for suggestions here.
Well, ever since I have known you, you've never been short on words, so I think you will figure it out. Congratulations, yet another honor. And I think I've said this to you before, but when David Poile got put in the, I think it was the USA Hockey Hall of Fame, I said, yes. This is one of many accolades that you either have or haven't gotten yet, but will get and deserve. And the same goes for you. We were a part of, you know, surprising you for the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, and now
you
the
certainly were.
Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame. You certainly deserve it, and going to be awesome tomorrow night. I'm glad. I know you were in Europe for the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, so I'm glad you get to be at this one.
At least I was there for videotape, right?
Yeah.
So that worked out that way. But yeah, it's unfortunate, but that trip was one that had been in this planning stages for over 2 years before we did it. So I wasn't going to be able to back out of that because I was the person who was putting part of that trip together.
You're one of those people that, you know, I think, like I said, you deserve these honors, but I think you look at it as you've just had a great career and done what you've loved for so long. So what is it like to go through this process and be honored like this?
That's a great way of putting it. And to go through the process, I think about all the things going back. I think about being upstairs in my home office in Kenmore, New York, in the late spring of 97, and this little piece of news came across the old Prodigy News Sports News Service that the NHL was awarding provisional franchises to Nashville, Atlanta, Minnesota, and Columbus. And I called downstairs to Claudia, and I said, boy, Claudia, wouldn't things be nicer for us, her with her family in the Knoxville area, if we could be in Nashville around the holiday times and take that much shorter drive than it is from Buffalo down to East Tennessee? And it just sort of developed from there. And thanks to Jerry Helper, who was my advocate within the Predators office, and Tom Ward, and, of course, Craig Leopold, all those people put us together. Jack Diller, who really liked my collection of sports bloopers, he laughed at those for a long, long time.
Pete Weber is with us today. Pete, what was the first hockey game you ever called?
Notre Dame at Boston College in 1974. And I can never forget that one because the kind people at Boston College decided to put my broadcast location directly in front of the Boston College Pep Band. I had no hearing for a couple of weeks after that game.
Was it, did you know then that, before that, how much about hockey did you know? Did you learn as you went announcing games, or did you already know quite a bit about hockey?
Well, I grew up a Chicago Blackhawks fan. I was a baseball fan, a Chicago Blackhawks fan, and I know that might ruffle some feathers here, but hey, that was the team that was closest to where I grew up. And the St. Louis Blues hadn't even started yet. So I was a Bobby Hull, Glenn Hall type of fan for many, many years before that. So, yes, and my hero in many ways turned out to be a guy who was with us in our first training camps with the Predators. Lloyd Pettit was the owner of the Milwaukee Admirals, and he was the voice of the Chicago Blackhawks, whom Chicago would limousine in from his home in Milwaukee to do the Blackhawks games. So I got some great stories from him during those early Predators training camps.
So, Pete, like when we got interns who come in and say, oh, I want to be a play-by-play guy, I'm like, all right, you need to listen to Pete Weber. You need to listen to Chip Walters. You need to listen to Mike Keith. You know, all of our favorites around here. In 1974, that was not available. How did you learn? How did you listen? I mean, did you just listen when they did it live? Was that how you got kind of the knowledge about how to be a good announcer?
Absolutely. And I had this big tabletop radio next to my nightstand, and I was constantly, in those days, 50,000-watt radio stations over the Midwest, and I grew up in Western Illinois, were carrying most of the sports. So I'd go to WJR in Detroit and listen to the Detroit Tigers, and go to WCFL in Chicago and listen to the Chicago White Sox with Bob Ellison, go to WGN, listen to the Chicago Cubs, with their announcers, and they had so many great ones over the years.
Right.
Vince Lloyd, Lou Boudreau in particular. WCCO in Minnesota, catching Minnesota Twins games with Halsey Hall. And even to the point of going to WBAP in Dallas to listen to the Dallas-Fort Worth AAA Spurs baseball.
So I guess these are all clear channel stations?
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
Man. So how did you become a Cardinals fan? Because aren't you a Cardinals fan?
I am a Cardinals fan, yes. And so I'm in Galesburg. If you take a look on the map, it's almost equidistant between Chicago and St. Louis. And I saw what pain being a Chicago Cubs fan put my father through. So I figured I better go some other direction here. And Stan Musial and company, that was the player that attracted me first. And plus, getting the great chance to listen to the broadcast team of Harry Carey and Jack Buck on KMOX.
Yeah, that's good. You know what's funny, Pete? When I was out of intern in sports, I interned under John Dwyer, and he said, I'm going to give you every sports script you take home, and you stand in front of the mirror, and you just read. You read it 1,000 times. So I'd take all these news scripts home and stand in front of the mirror and just read, and I was terrible. Mm-hmm. But he's like, just keep reading, and you'll find your voice. And I guess that's what you did. You found your voice.
Absolutely. And one of the best tools I had was when my father gave up his dictaphone from his office. And I used that to record and listen back. As a matter of fact, I still have a recording of Stan Musial's last major league home run hit in September of 1963. Because I recorded it on my father's dictaphone off KMOX radio.
Wow. There's an event today, Pete, in baseball history in 1983 that happened. I would love for you to be in the call on the pine tar incident with George Brett.
That was absolutely classic, and I don't think I've ever seen a man more enraged than George Brett was when the umpire called him out at home plate after using home plate to measure the extent of the pine tar on his bat.
Yes, I would love for Pete Weber to have been on that call, because that was so archaic and crazy that you just let the moment just go, right, I guess?
Yes, certainly George did, no question about that. And you know, George Brett, he and his brothers owned a minor hockey program in Spokane. And they got involved in hockey. So when I'd have baseball winter meetings and run into George Brett, he'd always want to talk hockey.
Great.
We're talking to Pete Weber, voice of the Predators. Next, or I guess it's a week from Monday, Marv Levy will turn 101 years old.
Yes.
And I know you spent a lot of time with him, and in Buffalo, you were there for that 4 straight Super Bowl runs from the Bills. What was it like being in Buffalo during that time?
It was absolutely a celebration, it seemed like, or the highs of the victories, and there were many of those, then the lows post-Super Bowl. And I remember Marv getting on the bus after the Super Bowl in Tampa, which was the first of the 4 in a row. And Claudia was sitting with me on the family bus, and she goes, Marv, we love you. And he goes, you sure you don't want to hit me with a baseball bat? That was the way he felt about all
that. That is fantastic. You know, looking at the Predators, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since, I guess, the draft. But a lot of changes. Chris McFarland's come in here, and obviously he's changed some of the front office and brought in some of his people. But looking at the roster, I like a lot of the moves that he's made to make this team younger, but also he's brought in some talented young players.
That he has. And, you know, it's interesting. Right now, if you look at dailyfaceoff.com, they're looking at the depth chart at this point. Jack Drury, who I think is a pretty good acquisition, is projected as the fourth line center. I don't know if that's going to stick, but and Maverick Bork is more comfortable, I think, in the middle too. Matthew Wood, yeah, there are some young players coming in. Russ Colton came over from the Avs as well. Nils Höglander from Vancouver. Alex Kerfoot coming in. So it's going to be an interesting camp. And then this is the year now where we have cut down to four preseason games. So I don't know that you could actually think things will be settled by the time they play the last of those four preseason games before opening up here on October the 1st against the Minnesota Wild.
All right, so that just – I'm glad you said that because I've been meaning to ask you about this. The league is moving to an 84-game schedule. Am I correct in saying they have done this before in the early 90s?
Yeah, we had – matter of fact, what we had then was to fill out the additional two games was neutral site games trying to spread the gospel of the NHL around. And I was lucky with Buffalo. I only had to drive to Hamilton, Ontario to do one of those games against the Vancouver Canucks. And Pavel Bure scored his 50th goal for the second time the season that night because he had one removed thanks to video review. So video review has been with us for a while.
That is funny. One thing I'll bring up with some of these new players, Vitali Pinchuk is a guy that I think a lot of people are paying attention to, which I guess will go down as the final move of Barry Trotz's GM career in signing him. But he could be an interesting addition.
Very interesting addition. It's going to be fun to see when camp gets underway how these guys work and how quickly they work. That's going to be a key now where you have the cut-down preseason schedule and then have to make these impressions quickly. Because otherwise, and then the other thing we have going on this year is the idea where a 19-year-old player could be actually sent to the American Hockey League, and we're all thinking about that as a potential for Brady Martin going to Milwaukee.
Interesting. Pete Weber's with us. Pete, you get inducted to the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame tomorrow night. Let me ask you this, and I don't want to get too emotional about this with you, but is there somebody tomorrow night that's no longer with us that you wish could be in the audience and you get this award tomorrow night?
Sheila Crisp. Yeah.
Yeah. And why?
Good question. Just because Terry and I and Claudia and Sheila have been so close for so many years, and it's just something we'd like to share. And that is one great regret that I'll have in that.
Well, I think you know something that you now have to say. We started this with you not knowing exactly what you're going to say. I have a feeling she might come up in your speech.
There is a chance. There is a good chance. Yes, sir.
And she would probably tell you to, you know, something I can't say on the radio before you go up there.
She might. Yeah, she just might. She was a great saucy lady, I got to tell you.
That's the best way to put it.
Right. Pete, congratulations. You know how much we love you and Claudia, man. And it's an honor to know you and for you to actually know who I am. I think it's a cool thing, Pete. So congratulations, my friend.
How many times, Joe, did we just fool around shooting the bull when I would come into Channel 2?
A thousand times. Those are great. Yeah. Those are a great time. We talked very little sports, mostly about life, which was great.
I tell people all the time, Pete, that some of my favorite moments in my career is when I was producing games, and during timeouts, you and I would just like that shoot the bull during the break down the line, whatever rink you were in, whether it was here or Buffalo or wherever. And I learned a lot of German during that. Again, words I can't say on the radio.
Yes, that's right.
And words I was using this last week over in Europe. Yes.
I keep adding more questions to this. I'll never forget that my favorite call of yours was the Mike Fisher goal at 4 o'clock in the morning in the playoff. That's an iconic moment.
Part of that, Joe, my favorite part of that, Crispy, we were in the second round, so there was no more local TV. Crispy was in the booth with Brent Peterson and me, and he was so excited He squeezed all the air out of Brent Peterson's lungs with a hug as I'm making the call.
Yep.
Oh, man.
That's where we got the random kind of yell from Brent.
That's right.
Because Crispy was grabbing him. Pete, congratulations again. Enjoy tomorrow. I know Claudia is very excited, too. But we'll see you very, very soon because hockey's right around the corner.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much, guys. I really enjoyed being on with you today.
Absolutely. The great Pete Weber, voice of the Nashville Predators since day number one, joining us, and yet another honor for him going in the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame. Our buddy George Plaster will be the MC of that tomorrow. And congratulations again to Pete on this tremendous honor. We'll come back with more Chasing Big Joe on a Friday, 102.5 The Game.